Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the latest episode of the Take Six Podcast. I think this makes it episode number 43. This is a Raptors-only edition of the podcast, and as always, I am your host, Hunter Surplus. Today, it's just me, however. Usually, I say, as always, with me on the other line, Callum Wise. Callum Wise is not with me on the other line today. He is busy with some schoolwork. Evan Kielhauer is the same thing, and it was a bit short notice to get a guest on, so unfortunately, you guys are just stuck with my voice. But today, thanks to all of you listeners and all of you followers on Twitter/Instagram, we are able to get a mailbag podcast going. We got a few questions about the Toronto Raptors, the state of the team, Kawhi Leonard, Pascal Siakam, all that fun stuff, and then a few questions about the rest of the Eastern Conference. So before we get into that, let's get into where you guys can find us on Twitter. You can follow us at @take_6. And that's the cool way of spelling six, the Drake way of spelling six. And if you don't know that, it is @take_6ix. @take_6ix on Twitter. And then on Instagram, you can follow us at @take6podcast. Facebook, you can find us Take Six. And that six is always spelt in that hip, cool OVO way. And then please go to take6.org. Give us a couple reads on our blog post. We've got new contributors coming in almost at a weekly basis. You can subscribe to us there as well. You just got to put in your email address and you will get a email every single time we post a new blog post or podcast. Whatever it is, it helps out a lot. Thank you guys for that. But without further ado, let's get into the questions. So we've got two questions to kind of start us off here. It's more of like a 1A and 1B type thing. And here is the first question. If Kawhi doesn't re-sign, what is going to be the game plan for Toronto? And then the second part of this question, which was asked by Ballify NBA, which is a very good podcast, is Siakam the next face of the franchise, in brackets, assuming Kawhi leaves? So my initial reaction to that first question on what the Raps are going to do if Kawhi ends up leaving, I would have thought at the beginning of the season that they probably get rid of their big contracts, lower their salary cap, get out of the luxury tax, and try to get into that rebuild mode because of the young talent that they have. They will still be able to be somewhat competitive, especially in the Eastern Conference, with their young talent like Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Norm Powell has been playing a lot better. Fred VanVleet can be a starting point guard in the league. So maybe they get rid of the big numbers off their books, aka Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, if he opts in, of course. They probably get rid of those guys, and you can consider those guys kind of their quote-unquote win-now pieces. And if they do something like that, they would probably get a few guys on the mid-level contract and probably get some not necessarily star guys. And then going into that second question, if that is the case, that Kawhi leaves and they do get rid of their kind of win-now guys in Lowry, Ibaka, and Marc Gasol, then yeah, I do think Pascal Siakam is going to be the face of this franchise. But as long as Kyle Lowry is here, he is probably going to be the more beloved one. Obviously, Pascal Siakam has taken a bigger role this year and has a bigger role in the media and on the social media and all that kind of stuff. People are loving what Pascal Siakam is doing. But this is Kyle Lowry's team. Even though Kawhi Leonard's there, this is Kyle Lowry's team, and it has been Kyle Lowry's team ever since DeMar DeRozan left. And even when DeMar DeRozan was there, it was more or less DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry's team. And I don't see Pascal Siakam overtaking that quite yet, just because of the tenure that Kyle Lowry has been here for, the amount that Kyle Lowry has done for the city. But as soon as Kyle Lowry is gone, if they do end up making that change, which I would probably assume that they do at some point within the next season, and if not next season, at the end of next season, kind of maybe give this one last run. But this is kind of what you expected with this trade for Kawhi Leonard. You understood that Masai Ujiri had the mindset that if we didn't make this trade and we didn't make it to the finals yet this year, we're probably going to go into rebuild mode anyways. They know the assets that they've had. They've known the assets for a long time, have been very good. And as of right now, they've been getting better. Obviously, OG Anunoby has been playing as well. Pascal Siakam has stepped up in his place. Norm Powell has been better as of late. Van Fleet has been really good as of late. So this wouldn't be a dangerous call by any stretch of the imagination to do a more rebuild mode for this Raptors basketball team. For the second question here, we move on to the NBA playoffs and more specifically the NBA finals. I was asked by the Clubhouse Sports podcast, do I agree that the Raptors can realistically beat the Warriors in a 7-game series? Now, this one's a bit of a tough one to answer because I do have the confidence in this Raptors team that they can beat anybody realistically. And anything can happen, obviously. If Steph goes down with an injury, then it makes it easier for this Raptors team to beat them. If Kevin Durant goes down with an injury, it makes it easier for this team to beat them. But as we've seen with all the chemistry issues that have gone on around the Golden State Warriors, and they might have a very tough road to the NBA Finals, actually. And it sounds weird saying that the Warriors are going to have a tough road to the NBA Finals, but they might have to face OKC in the first round, Houston in either the second or third round, depending where they end up, and might even have to face the Utah Jazz somewhere in that mix as well. And that's not an easy way to the finals. Those are all very, not just good teams, but tough physical teams to play against. They might get a little bit worn down, they might get tired, but I still don't really think that any team is going to push them past 6 games in terms of before the NBA Finals. And is it realistic that the Raptors are going to beat the Golden State Warriors? No, I don't really think that the Raptors have the firepower to go up against the Warriors. Can they take a couple of games? Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. We've seen that they've played well against this Golden State Warriors team so far this season, but we also haven't seen the Warriors quote-unquote Hamptons 5 lineup, which is their version of whatever death lineup anybody could ever throw out at them. I also think that the Warriors have a switch that hasn't been flipped yet. They are the best team in the league for a reason. They have so much firepower. At the end of the day, any of the chemistry issues that I kind of mentioned there a couple of seconds ago won't be that big of a deal come playoff time. Despite any anger towards anybody, these guys are professionals and understand that to win at the biggest stage, which is the NBA Finals, you're going to have to play your best basketball, and your best basketball generally doesn't come when you have chemistry issues. They'll figure it out by then. They will probably sweep 1, 2, or maybe even 3 of the rounds going into the finals. They'll be hot. I'm not discounting anything that the Raptors can do, and I do think that they can probably push the Warriors the hardest out of any team, probably in the NBA as of right now. But you have to take into consideration the talent that the Golden State Warriors have, and it just surpasses any of the talent that comes up with the Toronto Raptors. And yeah, the Warriors do have bench issues, but their starting five plus Boogie is incomparable in terms of our best six players. It doesn't really match up. But do I think that there is a possibility of it happening? Yeah, maybe. I don't think it's very realistic. I do think that if the Warriors and the Raptors do end up playing in the finals, I'm probably putting my money on the Warriors there. I would love to see the Raptors come out and win that, of course, as I am a Raptors fan. But barring any injuries to Steph or KD even, like I think if Klay gets injured or Draymond gets injured or even DeMarcus Cousins, they'll probably be fine. But we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully the Raptors do make it to the finals and they don't have to play the Warriors for whatever reason. So hopping into the third question, or fourth, depending how you look at it. I just got this question right now on my phone as I'm recording this, but do I think Kawhi Leonard will re-sign with the Toronto Raptors, and does his newborn affect the decision? So do I realistically think Kawhi Leonard's going to re-sign? I'm not sure, and I don't think anyone can really tell whether or not he is going to re-sign. If what people are saying is true in terms of what he values in, you know, a good basketball city, a good organization that he can trust, all this kind of stuff that a normal person outside of an NBA star would really like, then yes, I do believe that Kawhi Leonard will re-sign, because realistically speaking, this is probably the best chance to win basketball games in the NBA outside of the Golden State Warriors, which I don't think he will go to the Golden State Warriors. And if Kevin Durant leaves the Golden State Warriors, then the Raptors might actually be the best team in the NBA next season if everything goes to plan, if Siakam takes those jumps. So if Kawhi Leonard does have those values and he does believe that, you know what, I just want to win, I want to maximize my potential, I want to play for an organization that I can trust, then yes, I do believe that he will re-sign. And will his newborn baby affect his decision? I don't know if his newborn baby being born in Toronto is going to affect his decision at all, but I do think the fact that he has a family, or at least a bigger family right now, that will probably affect his decision. And whether it's because he thinks he has better opportunities in LA or because he has better opportunities here in Toronto to provide for his children, I do think that will play a decision. But the fact that his child was born in Toronto isn't something that will probably impact what he's going to be doing here. Now jumping to question 4, another one that I got just right now in the Instagram messages as I'm recording here from Kentaro Skinner. Who's your sleeper player in the NBA playoffs for the Toronto Raptors? So I talked a little bit about this with Adam Corsair on his podcast, South of the Six. Go give that one a listen. But I did talk a little bit about this with Adam, not necessarily in this exact context, but we did talk a little bit about Norman Powell and what his role might be with this Toronto Raptors squad in the playoffs. He has been playing a lot better as of late, and I do think that his athleticism and length and ability to score and fit in with the starters will probably make him a bit of a quote-unquote sleeper, like you said there, Kentaro. But on the other hand, if he doesn't play up to his capabilities, which is what we've seen, you know, in last year's season, in last year's playoffs, and a little bit at the beginning of this year, he might be able to not necessarily ruin a playoff scenario, but he might be able to swing the ball in another team's favor that isn't the Toronto Raptors, which is never a good thing to see. But like I said, if he's able to get those open shots, which I think he will be able to do if he's playing more and more with the starters, we do know that the rotations do decrease from around 10 to 11 guys to 8 to 9, and Norm Powell is definitely going to be in those 8 to 9 guys, especially as he's playing. And as we get deeper and deeper into the playoffs, it'll shrink to more of an 8-man rotation rather than a 9. And that means more time with the starters. That means more time being the third, fourth, or fifth option while on the court. And I think Norm will be able to benefit from that in terms of efficiency. Maybe not total production and maybe not more points, more rebounds, more assists. But I do think that if he does get into that role of maybe third, fourth, fifth guy, rather than being the second or third scoring option, then yes, he will improve in terms of his efficiency and will hopefully be able to provide some very good scoring off the bench. Who knows? Maybe he'll be able to even have a stellar game and pull out a win for us. But that's who my sleeper is, Norman Powell. I think his play is going to determine how good this Raptors bench does. And in turn, in those deeper rounds in the playoffs, it will probably determine what team wins that series. Moving on to the next question, and this one is another one about the playoffs, and this one's from Zav Kindrachuk, and he asks, do you hope to see Pascal Siakam play the 5 in the playoffs sometimes? And my answer depends on who we will be playing in the playoffs. Our first round matchup could potentially be the Detroit Pistons, and in that case, I would say no, mainly because you do have Andre Drummond out there probably for a lot of the possessions. But if they do end up going smaller and switching Blake Griffin down to the five, then yes, I would love to see Pascal Siakam matched up on Blake Griffin. I think that is a great matchup for the Raptors on both offense and defense. But then again, if you're playing a team like the Philadelphia 76ers and they have Joel Embiid out there, no chance you want to throw Siakam in there. You definitely want a guy like Marc Gasol, a bigger body, much stronger, or even Serge Ibaka, who's a much more physical player than Pascal. But then if you look at playing the Celtics or the Warriors or the Pacers for that matter, yeah, I would like to see Siakam out there, and maybe not for extended minutes because he's not as polished as guys like Gasol and Serge are, but I think it's a viable option for an energy unit. If you do need five guys, maybe Gasol's in foul trouble, maybe Ibaka punched some dude in the head, then yeah, you might as well throw him out there at the five. They've looked extremely good with Siakam at the five in the limited minutes that they've played that rotation at, but I do think it's a very long unit. Yes, you don't have the 7-footer out there in Marc Gasol, but you do have something close to it. You have a guy with a very long wingspan. He is quick on both ends of the floor, quick with the ball, quick in transition. He's able to get rebounds, and off of rebounds, he's able to stretch that floor into a transition bucket. On top of that, he is a very good catch and shoot guy who will probably be able to stretch the floor a little bit. So if you do want more space down low, or if you want to get some more shooters out on the floor, then yes, I would have Pascal Siakam out there on the five. But once again, it depends on the playoff matchup, right? You don't want him going out there against Embiid. You are probably okay with him going out against Horford. But then again, Horford is one of the best inside big men in the league. He's polished, he's a vet, he knows exactly what he's doing. So maybe not against Horford either, but I would like to see him out there against maybe some of these smaller guys, some of the backups to Embiid or Drummond or Horford or whatever it might be. But if you're going against some of these guys in a very tough matchup and a very smart defensive or offensive minded guy, then maybe you let Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka get in there just because of that experience and toughness that Siakam hasn't been able to provide quite yet. I think if you want a small ball lineup, he's the guy you go out there with, but I don't think you give that lineup some extended minutes. It's always very fun to watch, and I think they just need to maybe run with it more, maybe get some more practice with that lineup later in this season with, you know, the five games remaining. But I think we'll have to see. It is a very good option to go with depending on who you're playing with. I would like to see it. Yet another playoff question here from Evan Rutenberg, and this one is, who are you most scared of playing in the East? So I once again talked about this a little bit on this podcast already, but who I'm most scared of playing so far in the East is probably the Boston Celtics. And that sounds kind of weird because of the struggles that they've had, but they do have a switch to be flipped. And if they can flip that switch, which I'm not sure they can, but if they can flip that switch, I think the Raptors are in trouble. To me, they match up the best against the Raptors team. They're long, they're strong, they're fast, they're young. They know how to play basketball. They have experience going deep into playoff series. They went deep into playoff series last year when nobody expected it. Kyrie has, not single-handedly, but he had one of the best final shots in NBA Finals history. So you know these guys have been there and they've done that. When you look at Milwaukee, they haven't been there. They haven't done that. This team has continuity in the Bucks, but Giannis has never made it out of the first round. Maybe they have the best player in the series, but I think Kawhi, if there's someone who can stop Giannis Antetokounmpo, it will be Kawhi Leonard playing 38 to 40 minutes. I don't think someone on Boston can stop Kawhi Leonard. However, I do think there are some matchup issues in terms of us playing Boston. Tatum's a scorer. Kyrie Irving has torched us every single game this season. Horford is, like I said, a grizzled vet. It'll be hard for anyone to play him. He likes to stretch the floor. Most of these guys do. Marcus Smart's tough. Terry Rozier is a tough guy to play against. And if these guys can get it and push it into overdrive, it is a tough, tough series against the Toronto Raptors. Nonetheless, if you have to play in Boston for, say you have to play three of the seven games in Boston, that's a very tough and mentally draining arena to play in. Bill Russell might be sitting on the sideline. Paul Pierce might be sitting on the sideline. These are some guys that you want to play really well against. It's a storied franchise. You have all these stories about Boston, and it's tough. I'm not scared of Philadelphia. Ben Simmons can be played off the court. As long as you let Joel Embiid slow the game down, that means less possessions for other guys who can score. And then in the Bucks, I'm not scared of them. We beat them. I think our mentality this season is that, yeah, whatever, let them get the first seed. We're not scared of them on their home court. We've beat them before. We can beat this team again. Their system is going to work in the regular season, but probably not in the playoffs. So for those reasons, I'm most scared of the Boston Celtics, even though it does sound a little bit crazy. So this next question is more Eastern Conference based. And so the question is, which teams make the playoffs of the Pistons, Nets, Heat, and Magic? So for right now, the Pistons are 1.5 games up on the Orlando Magic, who sit in the 9th spot, and the Pistons are in 6th. The Brooklyn Nets are 1 game up on the Magic, who sit in 7th, and the Miami Heat are 0.5 a game up on the Orlando Magic, and they sit in 8th place. I do have a feeling that the Magic do get in because they are, in their last 10 games, they are 7-3. So are the Miami Heat. They've won 7 of their last games, the Orlando Magic, and they do play the Raptors tonight. So we'll see how that ends up going. The Brooklyn Nets are 5-5 in their last 10, and the Detroit Pistons are also 5-5 in their last 10 games. For some reason, I do have Detroit making it in. They've struggled as of late, and I do have Brooklyn out of the playoffs only because they have an extremely tough schedule pretty much for the rest of the season. They don't really have an easy matchup in their last 5 games, and they've had a tough schedule the last week and a half. They're probably worn down. Playing these tough opponents is not an easy thing, but maybe it just makes them push harder for a playoff spot. Orlando's been hot. I think they fly in just because of their recent play and how they've been doing. They're not going to make it out of the first round, but I do think that they're doing well. I think they fly into the 8th spot. Miami jumps up to that 7th seed, and the Pistons stay there at number 6. So this last question here is a good one. It's a very good question, but it's a tough one to answer. So the question is, which Eastern Conference team makes the biggest jump next year to become the biggest threat? And I'm assuming it's the biggest threat to kind of win the conference. And so this question is so tough to answer because of the implications that free agency has, right? If Kawhi Leonard leaves the Toronto Raptors ultimately fall from that biggest threat contention, right? If Kyrie leaves the Celtics, they probably fall. They might not fall as much as people think, but they probably fall a little bit in terms of that biggest threat contention. It's safe to say that Giannis and the Bucks are probably going to stay up near the top because of how their season has played out, how good they've been all year. They probably do that again next year, barring any injuries. But like I said, the free agencies, some of these teams will be able to improve drastically based on if someone comes to their team or not. If the Knicks or the Nets or whoever get Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant, that's a massive move for whatever team that is. They will automatically, especially if they get both, they will automatically fly up that contention. Say the Knicks get Kevin Durant and Zion Williamson, and then Kyrie Irving goes there as well. What does that do for the team? Well, it puts them into the biggest threat contention. But if the Knicks don't get any of those guys, and maybe they get Zion or RJ Barrett or any of these guys that are coming out of the draft this year, then maybe they do get impacted and they do make a big change to their team. But that's where it's hard for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer this question with a team that might not be most affected by free agents. And we have heard the rumblings that, oh, maybe Jimmy Butler, maybe Kyrie Irving, maybe KD. But I think it's going to be the Brooklyn Nets. One more year of playing together, and hopefully one full year of a fully healthy Caris LeVert and Rodney Koreks and all of these good role players that they have. It's like the LA Clippers in the West. I think that this is what this team is. And to me, it feels like they're going to make that jump that the Denver Nuggets did this season from last season. Maybe they don't make the playoffs this year. Maybe they're a game out of the spot. Maybe they're half a game out. Or maybe they just make it in the eight seed. That extra year of playing together, that extra confidence of, oh man, we exceeded expectations this year, probably gets them to a new level. Just like the Denver Nuggets, they did make that big leap with a lot of young guys. The Denver Nuggets weren't expected to be all that much last year, just like the Nets weren't expected to be all that much this year. And then they made that jump, almost making the playoffs, getting ousted by the Minnesota Timberwolves. This year, it looks like the same thing might happen with the Brooklyn Nets. Nobody is exactly sure how good they were going to be at the beginning of this season, making this season so impressive. So I do think it will be them for that reason. D'Angelo Russell has been good this season. Hopefully he doesn't regress like I think he might. But once you get those full seasons with LeVert, hopefully he gets back to his full health. Rodney Kurex, all these guys who are good role players, if they can take that step forward, and they're all young guys too, right? So they can very well take that step forward. I do think that maybe the Brooklyn Nets can end up being that next big threat team. But ultimately, I do think that it comes down to free agency. If Kawhi Leonard stays, the Raptors stay there and the Bucks stay there. If Kyrie stays, the Celtics stay there as well. But if some of these guys move around to some team in the East for the Knicks, let's say, then they probably hop up into contention there as well. So thank you guys for all of the questions. That was actually a lot of fun. I didn't think I was going to get so many questions here. I really appreciate everyone who sent in their questions. It meant a lot to me. I hope you guys liked the episode of the show. If you guys disagree with me or if you agree with me, send me some tweets, tweet at me. Whatever you want to do to communicate, let me know and we can converse. You can argue with me. You can agree with me, whatever it is. Anyways, guys, you can find us on Twitter at @take_6. Find us on Instagram at @take6podcast. On Facebook, Take 6. And always go to our blog, take6.org, where you can find our newest podcasts and find our newest blog posts. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sending in your questions.